swing and a belt. Well, Beal, way back. Blue Jays win it.
Oh, God. Down the sideline. Wow. Touchdown.
Unbelievable.
Trying to finish it.
It's over.
Here's a chance. That call. Shot rebound. Score.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to an all-new episode of Tall Can Sports, only on the Tall Can Audio Podcast Network. My name's Matt, and with me on the show, as is increasingly the case for the Sunday night show, and I think a lot of you are kind of starting to dig that based on some of the feedback we're getting, Matty Lang. What's happening, man?
Listen, man, this is the best Monday morning you could ever have.
And that is, those are comments that we get a lot, that we're putting together this Monday morning show. And there's two guys sitting there on Sunday night who are clearly not yet in Monday morning mode. So as people are heading into work.
We're, you know what? Here's the thing. We're just doing us. And here's the thing. Everybody just wants to be with us on this movement. Well, it's great.
I think on Sunday night, people want to be with us. I think on Monday morning, there's a little bit of envy. There's a little bit of whatever going on as you're heading in to start your work week. And we're still hanging on to Sunday night. I want to start here before we get into anything else. Let me hit this. On Twitter, it's at Matthew Lang. On Instagram, it's at Matt Does Physio. We are on Twitter and Instagram at Tall Can Audio. Hit us both up there whenever you want. But I want to start here. I want to play a little piece of audio. This won't need to be explained.
This is great.
Yeah. You're going to recognize the accent right away. Those of you who really watch a ton of hockey will recognize the organ right away, but you will not have a problem recognizing the accent on this woman in this little piece of audio I'm going to throw down right here.
Get a fucking napkin and wipe me off my shit now!
You're stupid.
First it's in my hair, then it's on my clothes, it's on my boyfriend's shirt! You're going to sit here like a pussy? Apologize like a fucking man!
It's here!
Hey,
look.
Hey!
Really?
Yeah,
it's over,
man.
Really? And he can't stand up and apologize?
Ew, man.
Fuck you!
You had some serious
hair. Right there! Stand up and apologize to the man! I'm sorry, what?
Come on, man.
I couldn't hear you! Wow. I have it in my hair, on my coat!
Matty, buddy, we've all met.
I'm still laughing.
We
I'm
have all met laughing. That
this
girl.
Fucking,
that
this is
girl.
Fucking hilarious.
So, for those who haven't seen the video, and we will share the video, like I said, on Twitter at Tall Can Audio, Facebook.com/Tall Can Audio. You can't really see what this chick is trying to wipe off.
How you like them apples?
Yeah.
How you like them apples?
You can't really see the guy sitting behind her has nachos. So maybe there's some nacho cheese in her hair or on her jacket. Maybe he knocked something over. I guess it could be beer, but it looks to me like it's the nacho guy behind, right? And he is showing the patience of a saint while heroin Fran Drescher, the nanny, is just screaming at him. We've all met that girl, right?
It's such a... You've been listening to me laugh for like the last 5 minutes about this whole situation.
This
like I have not been able to put words, like actually, I have not been able to put words in my mouth because this is like so funny.
This broad is crazy. She is losing her mind over some spilled nacho cheese on her jacket or something. And even when the guy does apologize, which the microphones don't really pick up, but he's apologizing and she goes, "I can't hear you." And he has to apologize again. And you can hear people behind the, you know, person taking the video going, "Oh, come on." Like,
listen, for those of you who are watching the video, who have seen the video, the best thing is that he takes his like pizza and like wipes off whatever he spilt on her.
He's trying to
with the pizza.
Yeah, it's like I spilled a bunch of cheese on you, and I'm going to wipe it off with more cheese.
It's so outrageous. It's so outrageous. I love it so much.
You have, we've all met that girl, right? Who's just so high maintenance, so crazy.
Oh my God.
You go to a concert or a sporting event and you're jammed in there like sardines, but this girl still expects nothing to go wrong. She won't be cramped. She won't be the one who get, like, just into, and I, like, to me, when I look at her, when I listen to her talk, what I said earlier, heroin addict, the nanny, Fran Drescher. That's what I'm seeing in that video. That's the voice that I'm hearing there, man.
Oh my God. It is so outrageous. And I love that it's a Boston fan.
Of course it's Boston. Of course it's Boston.
With an accent. Yeah. I'm like, just losing my shit.
We've all, even if it's not necessarily in this situation, we've all been out with that girl who is going to be so mouthy to some guy that you know you're the one who eventually is going to have to pay up for the shit that
apologize.
She said. At best, right? If you still can. But we've all been out at one time or another with that girl who takes it, you know, she's writing checks that you're going to have to cash later, right? I have no doubt you've been in that situation just as much as I ever, as any other guy listening to this has. Some girls are just crazy as shit, and they know that they get to say what they want and not be the one to deal with it later.
Oh, my God. That is literally, I can't stop laughing. That is, like, the best video I've seen, like, in a year. Honestly, in the year, that is the best video I've seen for
honestly,
so long.
No, and
because
we were,
she's so ridiculous.
She's so mad
about the whole situation, yeah. And the guy, it's just like, all right, let me take my piece and wipe it up.
And at that point, I don't know if he's parting.
That's the part.
I don't know if he's trying to troll or if he legitimately thinks he's being, like, he does apologize. But yeah, he also tries to clean it up with more of the same thing that caused him.
Which is, like, honestly the best part.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like trying to clean up the Exxon Valdez with more oil, right? Like, that's essentially what happened here. So power to you, Boston. We are recording this a little later on Sunday evening than we had planned. We got Maddie roped in. We talked, and we were going to do this after the Raptors game. And I looked, and I'm like, oh, nice 6 p.m. start for the Raps. You love that. A little bit earlier. Maybe we get this done a little earlier. But it really, the only thing that happened with the early start was it left us both with more time to have just a couple of beverages before we started the show. Maddie,
just a few more.
Yeah.
Just a few more.
You were down.
It is called Can Audio for a reason.
Of course. Of course. And that's where we're at this point. So you have been down at the arena. We'll get into in just a few minutes what we're having to drink here on this episode. But you were down at Scotiabank Arena for the Raptors game. And at the half, it was 77-37 Raptors. A few records set there. That was the biggest halftime lead the Toronto Raptors have ever held. That was the biggest halftime deficit the Jazz have ever been involved in. And it was a top 10 halftime deficit in NBA history. As the game went on, the Jazz came back and got it to like within 20. Which I guess
exactly.
makes it reputable.
Exactly.
What happened? I want to get to the first half and why the team was so dominant starting, but let's start, you know, just because that's where we're at in the second half. Did the Raps, you know, you were in the building, did the Raps sort of shut it down? Did they start to rest guys or did the Jazz legitimate? And the Jazz are a playoff team in the West. They're not a bad team. Did they start to climb back in, or did the Raps sort of go into coast mode and shut it down in the second half?
The Jazz are one of my favorite teams in the West.
Okay.
You know this.
Yeah.
Right. Like you know this. Like Donovan Mitchell, one of my guys. I love this dude. I only have one pair of shoes that are not Nike.
Right.
And that is the Donovan Mitchell edition one Adidas. Like that's how high I think of this guy.
Right.
I think he is the the new Dwayne Wade. Wow. I think he's that good. Right.
The Mormon Dwayne Wade.
Wow. Well, okay. We're just going there.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, that's Utah, man. That's all I got. Wow. I don't have a ton of Utah material.
I mean, if you're just going to go there, like, what are you drinking right now?
Okay. Well, right now I'm finishing off a little bit of Bacardi. And then I do have, and we're going to talk about it because you being in arena most of the night have been limited in your beer selection. And I have not had
much to choose from. That is very true for everybody.
All right. So let's just do that.
Don't judge me by what I've been drinking tonight. And you know why I've been drinking tonight.
So go ahead.
No, sorry. So here's the thing. When I'm presented with those options at the ACC, mm-hmm. The Scotiabank Arena, there's not much. And anybody who lives in Toronto knows you don't have a lot of options.
Well, in most of these arenas, so, right? Like, yeah.
In most arenas, right? So usually when I'm at the ACC, I always ask for a Coors Banquet because I think that's a nice, like, medium.
Sure.
A medium beer, like, it's better than some stuff, but, like, it's fine.
Yep.
Today I was not in my normal seats. I was invited to a box with a friend of mine.
Oh.
So I was living the good life tonight.
You always
accept
the invitation to the box on a Sunday.
Always.
Night. That's
there's not even an option, right? No. Like, you're there.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, are you free? I'm like, I'm about to be free right now. Yeah. Yeah. I'll be there.
Right.
Here's the thing. There's a limited options at
of
the
course.
Box.
Yep.
So they give me the options, and I said, you know what? I'm just going to do what Big G does.
Hashtag Big G.
And for those of you who don't know, yeah. Big G is the greatest human being that I've ever met in my life.
Wow. Yeah, it's high praise, man.
High praise.
Yep.
He's also the largest man I've ever met in my life.
he just comes off that way. As someone who grew up in his house, I can tell you, yeah, definitely comes off as the biggest man you've ever met in your life, especially if you know you fucked up.
Yeah.
And that's now. You know, like, I'm 36 years old. I still feel that way. It's like, oh,
and even if you haven't fucked up, he's still a big man and has still thrown me across the lake.
Right. No, it's
with
true.
With one hand.
Yeah.
And I don't even know how he did that.
And it's usually with his left hand.
I flew. Yeah. There was one summer, for those of you who don't know me, I'm not the smallest guy.
Yeah,
I'm not a large man.
You're pretty close.
I'm not the smallest man.
When you come to our lake, you're the smallest guy.
I'm not the smallest guy there. I'm thick.
All right.
I'm a thick guy.
We'll allow the thick.
And he just, honestly, like a flick of the wrist.
Yeah, and he's gone.
Big G threw me across.
You remember those scenes in The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air when Jazz was getting thrown out the front door? That's what Maddie looks like, getting pitched across the lake.
He definitely DJ Jazzy G.
Yes, exactly.
Without even thinking about it, which is the best part. So to bring it back around, when I have the option in that sort of scenario, I always go with the Molson Canadian.
Yep.
Because to me, I'm like, you know what? It's an old reliable. I also think like Molson Canadian gets a bad rap. It's still a decent beer, man.
It's fine. It really is. And that was the thing that I was able to most easily get my hands on when I was young, first starting to.
But it's a good drinking beer, right? Like,
yeah.
You just,
no, you could be
it's
doing
a sipping beer.
And so what I've got.
Oh, my God, yeah.
What I've got going on tonight, I picked up earlier in the week because I actually thought, and for those who don't know, obviously, which is most of you, Big G is my old man. He was supposed to be coming to town this week. And so I'd picked up a couple of things to make sure the fridge was stocked for him. And then plans changed and he didn't end up making it. This is something that I've seen commercials for all over a lot of the regional Leaf games. And it's called the Molson Fireside. And I guess it's a dark lager.
It's not bad. I like it.
I have never had it before. I'm holding a can right now. I've never tried one. I'm about to crack it open. Saved it for this episode of the show, knowing that Maddie had been down at the arena, was probably limited to a similar kind of selection. So while we normally do the craft beer thing here a lot on the show, it was going to be heavy on the Molson. So firing it up right now with the Molson Fireside.
So I don't actually mind that one. I've had that at the keg. because when I rolled into the keg about 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And they always have like a rotating tap, right?
Yep.
But it's a keg.
Yeah.
So I asked them what they were doing on their tap, and they were like, "Well, we got this Fireside Molson."
Yep.
And so I asked a little bit more about it, and they were like, "Well, it's a port. It's a not a porter. It's a stout." Is that right? As you sip it, right? Depend. Now.
Yeah, they're like it says here a dark lager. It would be borderline stoutish, but you know, they're calling it a dark lager. Let's call it a dark lager, I guess. That's.
It wasn't bad, man. It wasn't bad. I liked it.
I've only had one sip so far. I'm enjoying it.
It was a good taste. I liked it. It tastes
like a dark Canadian. Like, you definitely have a Molson Canadian taste to it, but with a little kind of darker. I don't mind it at all.
I found it was like, it was a great, like, on the tip of your tongue, it was really good.
Yeah.
And so we're getting really into, like, how much we like beer right now, everybody.
That's but like what we do here.
That's what we do, right? I really liked it on the tip of your tongue. I thought the aftertaste was a little bit still that Molson Canadian move,
yep.
right? So
yep.
for me, I was like, this is better.
Yep.
You know, if I have a choice, maybe not my go-to, sure. but like, it's not bad.
Well, like I said, I picked up a bunch of these expecting you so old you man got, in you town this week. To and I'll have no problem. Putting this away. This is just fine. This is just
listen,
fine.
Listen, nobody thought you were going to have a problem with that.
No, exactly.
Nobody listening thought you were going to have a problem with that.
No, I know. It's true. So you're down at the Raptors game tonight. The Raptors have maybe their best first half in franchise history, just in terms of the way they laid a beat down on a pretty good Western Conference team. It gets kind of closer in the end. What did you see at the game tonight? What was your takeaway? The Jazz are, you know, kind of a 4-8 Western Conference team, but no pushovers.
They're not a pushover. They're a great team.
Yeah.
They're always my sneaky like West Coast team. I love the Jazz. I think they're a really great team. I think they're really sneaky good. Man, it looks like they had the Toronto flu.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of talk.
It
about
really
that.
Looked like they had too much fun last night because
the King
they
Street
could
flu,
not
man.
Get a
There's.
Shot.
There's a lot of talk about that in the NBA that doesn't really get reported up here much, but that Toronto is an underrated road city. And a lot of these NBA teams come in, they cross the border, they feel like the media eases up on them a little bit. Toronto is, you know, people don't talk about it much, but it's a top four kind of population city in North America. You can find some fun. And I saw Arash Madani of Sportsnet calling it the King Street flu, maybe that was running into
that's
them.
Actually that's the best name for it, actually.
Right.
It's actually better than Toronto flu. The King Street flu is actually like,
yeah, so did they roll in, maybe have a good going. Weekend and show up for that Sunday game in Toronto going, oh,
we
fuck.
All know where they're going.
Right.
It's called EFS.
Okay. Nice.
We all know where all the basketball players are going. Most of your listeners, you know?
Yep.
Probably not the place that they want to be at.
Right.
But
is that what it looked like to you? Did it look to you more like Utah was just dead and maybe hung over and maybe tired and whatever? Or did the Raptors just come out and play that much better?
It was a very weird situation because at one point it was like 9-5 or something like that. And like the Raptors just like, we're not hitting a shot. And then all of a sudden the Raptors just could not miss.
Right.
So it was a combination, right? It's like the Raptors were just feeling it, and Utah looked like they were out way too late last
night.
Yeah,
okay.
even in the pregame, we were watching the pregame, and my buddy was asking, he's like, so who do I need to know about Utah?
Right.
So I was like, well, Rudy Gobert, he's the Eiffel Tower, or the Stifle Tower is his nickname. We got Donovan Mitchell. Who's like one of my favorite, like I just said, he's one of my favorite players to watch, just period. Both those guys looked like they had been out with like too many strippers last night.
The old brass rail down on.
Yeah. Definitely the brass rail. They were definitely at their brass rail, right? And you know, hardworking girls, they're just putting their time in.
Yeah.
Putting their time in for the team. It was an embarrassing look for those boys. That was a Raptor team that just looked like the contender that they are.
So
even though... No, please.
Well, I want to talk about that. I want to get to the Raptors and where they're at right now. But coming off that Sunday game, they're up by 40 points at halftime, which is unbelievable. But there's a couple of points in the second half where... You know, it almost looks like Utah's crept back in, but really the lead is so big that maybe it didn't matter. You're in the building. Did Toronto kind of shut it down in the second half, or did Utah improve and come out and play better? They still won by 20, which is an impressive victory, but, you know, what did you see there?
No, 100%, man. Like, Toronto just basically was like...
Fuck it.
Toronto put up 70 points in the first half, man.
Unreal.
Like, it's at that point you're like... We were joking about it. So I was there with the guys I play hockey with and like my beer league team.
Yeah.
And the joke was, could we put one of our guys on the like on the floor and not sub him out?
Right.
Would the Raptors still win?
Holy fuck. Were you going to be the guy?
No. So not me, because I could actually hit a shot. So. They were like, we were talking about the worst Raptors guy on our team.
Return of Muggsy Bogues.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, I'm not far off.
Wow.
Yeah, well, that's where it is, man.
I'm not going to say I don't hit those rainbow shots, but no. Listen, I hit rainbow shots. I shoot really high up in the air because I'm only 5'8", whatever.
Yeah, have to.
I have to. There's no
Fisher Price
that.
Nets. You still got to get up high.
Oh, wow. Okay, you can
dunk on that shit. No problem.
These are my friends right now.
Supposedly.
This is where I am in my life. It's where I am in my life. Yeah. This is how my friends do me. We were talking about the worst guy on our team going onto the floor and could we still win?
Right.
And I argued that we would still win because we were up by like 30 points. Actually, at the halftime, we were up by 40 points.
Yep.
So I said, as long as you don't fall on your face, as long as your shoes are tied up.
Right.
Even if you were the fifth guy on the floor, we were so far ahead, it was not going to be a problem. So, you know, jokes aside, the Raptors just came out and it was a Sunday night game. You know what? And they came out to prove something.
Yeah.
And they were just like, they knew what they were doing tonight. And it was like, Spicy P had like 26 points.
Right.
At the end of the first half. Like, that's
insanity.
That should be your numbers at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Marc Gasol had like 12 or 15 points. You know, Fred VanVleet was doing his thing. Norm was going off. This is a team that's very understaffed. A lot of injuries. We had Ibaka come back. That was the biggest cheer of the night when Ibaka came onto the game. We just demolished a team that's supposed to be a contender in the West Coast.
Well, and that's an interesting point, right? Like Utah, I've seen them kind of predicted to be anywhere kind of, three through eight, right? And right now, I think, what do they sit, fifth or sixth? And that seems about right, but they're not a pushover team. It's not like the Raptors came out and just smashed some nobodies. Like, this is a playoff team in the West, and they made a statement. Whether or not it's because Utah went out and enjoyed Toronto's nightlife the night before or not, you still have a job to do. But that's been the talk for a while, right? In Toronto... the Sunday game, the Raptors have a ridiculously good record just in franchise history. People come up to Toronto and we always kind of shrug our shoulders and, oh, you know, what ESPN and what America thinks of Toronto. The NBA and MLB, they know, right? When you come into Toronto on a Saturday night, there's some shit to go down, right? It's not quite Vegas. I mean, we talked about the Vegas Golden Knights and their home record when they first, you know, got into the NHL. Every team that came in seemed to have the Vegas flu. But the NBA, when they come north of the border, they just assume, and they're not wrong, that the media is going to be a little less and they can get out on Saturday night and have a good time. And the Raptors, they'll schedule their Sunday games because they'll happily let the Leafs have Saturday night. the Raptors Sunday and the NBA, you know, they party up.
You know what? The Raptors are, it's a funny thing, right? Because like Toronto as a city,
yeah.
Like let's not mince words. We're the fourth biggest city in North America.
Right.
Right. But it's a very discreet city.
Yes.
Even though there might be like people out there with their phones and all that sort of shit.
Yeah, TMZ everywhere. Is not hanging out on King Street waiting for these guys to roll through.
No, and that's a crazy thing, right? It's a city where you can actually be somewhat discreet.
Right. Until Sunday night when the ball goes up and, oh, shit, now everyone can see what I did last night.
Yeah, now you feel it, right?
Right.
But I also think, like, let's not undercut what the Raptors are. The Raptors are such a fucking good team. I think that they're a historically good defensive team.
Well, right. I saw tonight one of the NBA statistics Twitter accounts, and I'll quote them afterwards when I go back and find it, said that the Raptors are at like 98.2% efficiency, which is just defensively, right? Which is just unbelievable. Earlier in the week, I saw a tweet that said that the Raptors had an identical record to last year's Raptors, and that team had Kawhi. And this team obviously does not have Kawhi and has had some key pieces, as you've referenced, but not the least of which being Kyle Lowry missing significant portions.
He's missed half the season, man.
Right. And they are going step for step with last year's team and matching that. What's happening there? Have we underestimated some of the guys that the Raptors had that were working with Kawhi? Has it been an easy schedule thus far? Like, what are you seeing right now? Because they
It has not been an easy schedule. Sorry, I got too excited there.
Sure.
It is not an easy schedule. The Raptors have had to travel way too much at the beginning of the season, just like you, like normal.
Yeah.
They've had to make that tough West Coast swing right off the bat, which is not an easy thing to do for any team.
Well, went in and contained the Clippers and the Lakers on back-to-back nights, right?
Right? And that's the stupidest swing anybody has to make. And that is an NBA dealt move,
right,
to make sure somebody from LA wins a game.
Sure.
That's 100% how I feel. This team is good, man.
Clearly.
This is a good fucking basketball team. There's just like, there's people who know how to play basketball.
But when we teed it up,
the
right?
coach is great. The coach
clearly,
is great.
I he love obviously Nick knows Nurse, what man. He's doing. I'm getting so into that, right? And even Sheldon Keefe, and we're going to get to the Leafs here in a little bit, when he came up, and he's about a week into his tenure as Leafs head coach, he's talking about, you know, the people are asking him, you know, who do you look to? Who are some of your influence? And the first name he brings up is Nick Nurse and the Raptors. He's like, we just had a team in this organization with a championship. I'm looking to that guy, right? Like, why wouldn't you? And I referenced on our Twitter at Tall Cane Audio, you know, what he's put into the national team and it, for Team Canada. And it hasn't gone exactly how they wanted it to, but more and more guys are stepping up now. I love what he's putting into that. But this team, look, when we did our season tee up a month or two ago, you said this team would be better than most of us expected, but even you couldn't have predicted that they would still be neck and neck with the Kawhi Raptors, right?
Oh, there's no way. Because you always think that, like,
you lose your biggest star, NBA, you gotta take, right? Like, at least a bit of a step back.
Oh, 100%, right?
But they haven't.
I think what you see right now with the Raptors is a team that's super well coached.
Yeah.
And it's finally the team that this was a team that Masai wanted, right? When he tried to trade, and like full disclosure, he tried to trade Lowry.
Yep.
He tried to trade DeRozan multiple times and finally did.
I'm starting to hear talk about whether you'd bring him back.
Yeah, that's never happening.
I agree. That's, I agree
that's,
with